listen to two married lesbians discuss an LGBTQ plus book each month that highlights the queer human condition as they use connection and humor to relate the issues to us as a queer community. She's Anna.
And she's Miranda.
I am. And we're two married lesbians.
We are.
And we're all queer here. And we're back! So let's address the elephant that's in the room.
The gay rainbow elephant.
That may or may not be a pug dressed
in an elephant
costume.
You're gonna be a unicorn at this point?
Yes.
A pug in a costume or a unicorn?
I think I'm gonna go unicorn.
Or pug dressed as a unicorn.
Yes. Elephant unicorn. Why are there not elephant mystical creatures?
Topic for another conversation. So about us being on hiatus for a little longer than we planned on.
Yeah. I just want to say special thank you to my beloved Anna.
Yes, me. That's me.
Yeah, that's you. Spoiler alert. I really, really needed some mental health break because I had a lot going on. Going to school, working full time, being a mom, you're also doing that.
Yeah.
You're doing
the parent stuff.
So. You're doing two of those three things.
Yeah. And still reading, I almost said vicariously. Voraciously. I am reading voraciously still.
I want to see you read vicariously.
It's when someone's like reading in public, like they're in line, instead of like reading someone's text messages for, you know, over their shoulder, you're reading what they're like, oh, that looks, she did what? And then who's the, what book are you reading? It's like that.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that you went in depth. You stayed with it.
Yeah, totally.
Fitz appears to be very anxious and feels like he has something to get off his chest.
Yeah, he's ready for this.
What do you have to get
we're
off your chest?
We also need to mention that we are still very much newlyweds.
We are.
So we do newlywed things a lot. Like, I'm still trying to figure out the clean laundry, dirty laundry ratio, as well as like how often are we running the dishwasher? Like it's just, you know, there's two of us most of the time, especially now that it's summer and Kenan's spending some time with other family. But it's like, why is this still so hard? You know?
I don't know. I think one of the newlywed struggles is what is our board game? You know, because like I like Scrabble. You're a half-hearted Scrabble player sometimes.
Kenan's a Monopoly. He's one of those people.
Oh, he's super into Monopoly.
It takes forever. Want to waste a half a day of your life? Play Monopoly, kids.
Yeah. That's the slogan. Yeah,
exactly. It is. And I like the game of life.
Yeah.
Because there's a very solid... You're dead. Well, not really you're dead, but you're in the, like, the retirement home, and then you add up your money, and then you win or lose.
I miss the retirement home.
Now, isn't there a retirement... I'm going to have to... Remember. Maybe not a dead, but like I think there's a retirement. Yeah, there's like senior living.
Okay. So, but I just, thank you. We actually got to meet a fan in person lately, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, at a Pride event. We have prided so hard this June.
I'm prided out.
I'm
exhausted.
Yeah, I've got another Pride event tomorrow, and then I think I'm going to just cuddle up in all my rainbow gear and take a nap.
But you were like in a parade. I prided way hard.
My sister had... Her company was in the parade, and I was, as her sibling, I was invited and got a free t-shirt and everything and sweated it out. You sweat from places you don't
you
really
sweat
know.
The rainbow?
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I'm glistening and there's a rainbow on my arm, and you know, places you're sweating that I didn't know existed on my body, so.
Yeah.
But it's the first
like
time I've
book,
ever,
Sasha.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Houston Pride, Dallas Pride, and Austin Pride in Texas, and this was the first time I've been to a parade. It was for Dallas Pride.
Sweet.
So that was pretty cool. So on to our book.
Yes.
So Flamer.
Yes.
School Library Journal recommends this title for 8th grade and up, and Kirkus Review suggests it for ages 12 and up. However, it is our firm belief that parents should have the final say on what reading material is best for their children. Despite those suggested age ranges, we want to prepare our audience, since we will be discussing homophobic slurs and suicide ideation during this episode. We know these conversations are difficult and can be somewhat overwhelming, but we also believe they are important.
Yeah.
And finally, to our author Mike, I spelled it wrong in here. Author Mike Corrado is gay, and he wrote and illustrated this book based on some of his own experiences. Flamer is his debut young adult graphic novel and was awarded the 2020 Lambda Literary Award for LGBTQ young adults. So before we jump in, I literally want to start with the quote on the cover from the author of Hey Kiddo. And it says, this book will save lives.
Oh, absolutely.
I have seen it, firmly believe it. So, yeah, 100%. It's also important to note that the letters that Aiden writes to Violet mention it's summer 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, you know, in graphic novels, you can obviously show different aspects of things like time and frustration. When in written text, you would just maybe mention at the beginning of the chapter that it was like summer 1995 or whatever. And so I just really appreciated it. It was like in the letters, but not everybody would read the whole letter. Mm-hmm. And the 90s was a time when gays weren't allowed in the Boy Scouts. It wasn't until 2013 that gay scouts were accepted, and 2015 that gay leaders were accepted. And then in 2017, so it's like every 2 years they were adding stuff. And then in 2017, trans boys and then later girls were accepted. So now Boy Scouts of America is fully inclusive. It's also based in Irving, Texas.
But
not
every troop is inclusive.
That's true.
Because there are some troops that choose not to allow girls, which the one in particular that I've dealt with, they didn't go into everyone they didn't allow. But based on where it was, I imagine it was pretty much they were okay with cishet boys. Seemed to me.
Some of the local stuff, it's hard to fight. You really have, I mean, unless you like literally willing to fight and go to the national group, mm-hmm. which again, it's local in Texas, but sometimes it's just easier to be like, you know what? I'll drive 45 minutes.
Or I'll start my own.
Once a week. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, like that's one of those things too, that, when we're talking about fighting, there are different ways to fight. Like one of them is, okay, let me go a litigious angle. Like that's how we can affect change. Sometimes it's, you know what? Even if I win, I don't want to be around you. So let me start my own. And sometimes, like, I know for me, Texas has been, well, you all have lived it. Mm. It's been a nightmare. Especially for our trans folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, like my fight, I feel the most empowered and the most excited, and it feels the most fulfilling when I fight as an ally. And it feels hard and overwhelming and all-encompassing when I try to fight for myself.
Talking about Target?
No, not this time. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's been...
what we thought was a strong, we the community thought was a strong corporate ally.
Yeah.
Just kind of quietly hush hush.
Well, and I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, it feels like the, we don't give in to terrorists, but they like literally did.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like on the one hand,
and their stuff is good. Like, why can't this be like a company where like their price stuff is not great?
I was
like,
so
it's not fair.
Excited about
like, if
the
you look
Tomboy
online,
X Target deal. I was like, yes.
They have that at Kohl's too. We need to go. It's the end of June. We need to go.
Yeah, we don't really go to Kohl's much.
Just to return Amazon packages. And then they give you a 20% off coupon. So there you go. Because all of it was 50% off like at the beginning of June, but not Tomboy X. And I was like, it was very rainbow. The pattern was very extreme. And I remember thinking, do I want to wear these often? You know, just because it's a lot sometimes with what my comfort t-shirts are. So, all right, let's talk about Aiden. I loved that he had body issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's addressed hardly ever in YA.
Well, and especially for boys.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Well,
it happens to everyone.
Yeah. He shows him in the mirror and he's like kind of, you know, you're not hugging your stomach, but you're looking at your stomach and you're kind of like envisioning what it would be like to be flatter. He talks about how he's half Asian. He gets made fun of for that. You know, we were talking recently about biracial children,
mm-hmm.
and how we don't really know how our nieces will identify.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why do we even need to identify as anything more? You were talking about a coworker, I think, or a friend, some magical human in our life.
Magical human.
Who you said was racially ambiguous. And mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a lot of people, that should be an option.
Well, and I think for everybody, it's like whatever they're comfortable with. And I do think it's important that we hold space for that intersectionality, that that people, if they want to talk about, you know, a culture or an ethnicity or some sort of experience, that we hold space for that and we honor that, because that's important. That's part of who you are.
Honestly, when I think about, like, from the employer perspective, because that's usually where, if I'm going to do a survey or if I'm, you know, filling out a job application, what they want to know is, white, non-white, do you speak Spanish? Like, isn't that kind of offensive? I'm offended. That's what all of this, like, option, click the box, click other, but write in what it is. It's just...
What it feels like to me is, one, can we get paid extra for hiring you because we get to check the box of we did a minority? And then two, yeah, are you going to speak another language for us? Because we could use that to sell to other minorities. Yeah, it's kind of a complicated relationship. And then, like, you as the individual are like, please pay me money so I can live. I'd really like that.
I mean, when I met kids at my school who were had some Asian heritage, whether it was, you know, one parent or, you know, an uncle or something, I was like, awesome. Do you cook different foods? Because I'm tired of my mom's casseroles. And it wasn't like, oh, do you eat X, Y, and Z? Like, I wasn't trying to, like,
be... You just want to know what their experience is.
Yeah, and can I come over for dinner? Because I'm sick of the casseroles. So I was, yeah, anytime there's a different culture, all about that potluck. Mm-hmm.
I love hearing, like, when we talk about different cultures, I love hearing them just tell me whatever they find important. Like, I remember, and I mean, this was years ago, and it still sticks out to my mind because it was just... It was really enjoyable and pure and beautiful. But it was back when I was a reseller and I was doing flea markets all the time. And this gentleman came up and I was selling a knife with this really pretty, like, inlay work and all this stuff. But I didn't know what it said because I didn't speak Spanish. And I, you know...
And Google Translate was not available then.
It was not available
yet.
She's
super old, guys.
I
like before Blockbuster old.
No.
Yes.
No.
I'm going to fact check it later. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, he was looking at it and I was like, oh, hey, yeah, I thought that was really cool looking. I don't know anything about it. And he's like, oh, well, do you want to know what it says? I was like, sure, tell me.
And it's like, death to traitors or something like ridiculous.
No, that would have been awesome.
Okay, no, they just said like,
no,
peace
it
and
was,
freedom.
Well, probably not peace and freedom on the knife. But I mean, I can't remember what he said it said.
Because, oh, bummer. I was so looking forward to this.
I know, but what was more impactful was he was talking about how, what part of Mexico it looked like it had been made in, and that this specific art style was from, I'm trying to remember now. I think he mentioned it was like Mayan or something. But anyway, what it ended up, the discovering what was on the knife wasn't the important part. What I absolutely...
Just the history of the knife.
Well, what I absolutely adored was he just lit up, started talking about what flea markets were in Mexico. Because they are very different than what they are in like a traditional American whitewashed flea market.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just started talking about like the art of like how you barter and bicker back and forth to get like prices, and like that's not a bad thing, like you're it's like a dance. And I was like, wow,
a verbal dance,
it really is. And he's like, and you basically insult people if you're not doing that, because
I've been to one of those outside Austin and I didn't realize it at the time, and then I was like, well, I don't really want it, I just asked how much it was. So then it was like, why would I barter? And then so I had to like kind of
then walk away.
Well, because I felt bad because it was like an area rug and I had a tiny apartment, so it literally would have been like, move all the furniture, lay it down,
and it goes up the wall.
Yeah, you're laughing, but for real, like it was just too big.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I enjoyed that he mentions that he's half Asian, because I think, you know, I see a lot of kids just in life, and you know, having, you know, been an educator, like who don't fall into those boxes. And who wants to check other? I don't want to be other.
Yeah.
You know, why not just fill in the blank? You know, it's like when you vote for a third party or a fourth party, you know, fill the blank.
Oh, voting. So, PTSD is real.
Yes, it is. I want to talk about, I know there's a ton of images in here. We could almost do
the opening panel, that striking a match.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot.
So powerful.
Well, there's so many images in here that I just, I mean, this book is so powerful, and it takes a long time for me to read it just because I'm pausing and like, okay, next page. But, so I tried to narrow it down to one, but it's the image on page 29, and he's talking about feeling like he's drowning as his mom cries above him because him and his parents are, he's like drowning in her tears. Yeah, they're fighting, and he's like drowning in her tears, and he doesn't know, he has two younger siblings, he doesn't know how to make it better. And I was thinking, just, maybe it struck me more as like, as from a parent perspective of, you know, I mean, we don't argue very much. I mean, sometimes we start laughing as we argue because we're just so in love. But, I mean, we don't really get mad very often. So, but I know he probably saw some of that when you were married to your ex. And just a little bit. And, you know, he sees it on TV. And then my parents had a very interesting relationship. And sometimes that was volatile. So I just kind of, maybe is like my past experience or current to like always be aware of like, hey, when we're fighting, like this is not on you. I think that's so important to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it doesn't come up a lot in the parenting books I read about keeping that relationship.
Everybody's going to fight. Everybody.
I know, but yeah, but also like mentioning like, hey, you know, like I don't really think, I mean, I've slept on the couch a couple times, but that's when you've been sick and like you can't wear your snore guard. But like there's never been a time where we've fought so bad that we were sleeping separately. But if there was, then we would talk to Kenan and say, hey, we need a break from each other, and we're, you know, the dogs are gonna have to pick who they sleep with, and we're not gonna judge them, and it's gonna be great in the morning, we're make pancakes or whatever, you know what I mean? Like just having that conversation. But I don't really think, I mean, he always tells us to stop being gross when we're dancing. So I don't think there's any.
I think that's a bit of a judgment on us as the adults.
Well, he'll say, stop twerking. And I'm like, I'm not twerking. Like, look up a video. That's not what
maybe
twerking
don't
is. Maybe don't. Well, it's not hip shaking. It's not what I'm doing. That's, and I'm, you know, old lady dancing. That's not.
And we'll be right back. And we're back.
I had to point out that image because when we start to look at his trajectory over the summer, I think it really starts there because he's already carrying a lot of his parents' baggage into what's going on with him. And then it starts with those body issues, and then his friend is separate and he's writing her letter. I remember what it was like to write letters back and forth and have to wait when you're at camp. So I just kind of think like that sense of drowning and being overwhelmed is already there from the beginning.
Well, because he feels so unmoored and isolated. Like, if you don't feel like your parents have the situation under control and they're the ones that are supposed to keep you safe and protect you, as a child, that's terrifying. And it would have this feeling of being powerless that just gets amplified when he also can't control how people perceive him, and they're making fun of him for his race. That's nobody
not
can
control
their
yeah.
race.
Yeah.
Even when you talk about like body issues, where it's like, you know, oh, I'm. Even if you're happy with how your body looks, but people make fun of you.
But it's not fair because, like, as a kid, you have such limited control. Like, if you eat the school lunch, or what your parents buy and cook for you, either you go hungry, you eat that. Whether they have the ability to get you exercise equipment, or, I mean, I did DVDs when I was a kid, which, of course, dates me a little bit. But, you know, or take you to the gym. Like, I love seeing, like, young people at the gym when we do manage to go.
Every month or two or three.
Yeah, but I just love seeing that because it's such a point of access that a lot of people don't have. And not even, like kids who necessarily are overweight. Everybody needs more exercise regardless of your weight. Weight doesn't
just yeah.
Well, weight doesn't
and
weight,
walk.
Yeah, like weight doesn't equate to health.
But like walking 30 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Like that's such
but
a
But I love seeing like the young part. What I assume are athletes or just boys, teen boys, who are working on the weight equipment. Like that stuff is hella expensive and it takes up a lot of room, and if you do have it, it's usually in your garage, which is un-air conditioned.
And it's hot.
Exactly. So, anyway, so I just love seeing that because, just like I said, it's a point of access for people. But you have such little control at this age when he's leaving the eighth grade. Like, there's just so little you can do, you know?
Well, and not to mention, even if you did have access, you're still relying on your parents to get you somewhere.
Yeah.
So if they are too busy or they don't want to go.
Yeah. Well, communal showering for the male population.
I don't think it's just male. I still remember going on a mission trip.
I'm giving you a weird look. I don't understand.
It's an audio medium.
Yeah, I've only experienced this for the male population, to my knowledge. I've never had...
Yeah, we were on a mission trip.
We always had little curtains.
And where we were staying...
She grew up in the you know, she's a country bumpkin, so, I mean, where, you know...
We went, I don't know, some other state to help with whatever, and, like... After it's all day, you're sweaty and gross, and I was always sweatier and grosser than all the other girls. And then you had to go shower, and like they're like, yeah, and you gotta hurry. Like if you're still doing it 2 minutes later, we're coming in after you. And I'm like,
coming in at two? What does that look like? They just pull you out naked with something?
I know, but as a kid, you're like,
it works.
Terrified. Yeah. You know, like,
that's not communal showering.
Yeah, no, there was just like this open space and no shower curtains. It was terrifying. But if you wore a bathing suit the whole time, then you didn't get clean. Plus, you had to figure out a way to put on a bathing suit. Oh, it was awful.
Now, when I went to, I guess it was like freshman camp for college. It was in Colorado and it was this like super green place. And they only had like a certain amount of water a day. And there was 5 days. And I was like, day four was my like scheduled cabin shower, and I remember, or maybe it was day three, whatever, it was the day before we went whitewater rafting. So I'd already showered and then we went whitewater rafting, and I remember thinking, don't fall in because you will stink, including on the plane.
Wow.
Because like they wouldn't, and they timed you, and then they just, the water turned off in 5 minute increments.
You couldn't have more than one shower
in 5 days. We paid for this experience. I just want to be clear on that. I paid for that.
Whoa.
But the food was great, you know, with all the excess water they were spending on cooking it. So, but yeah, I had a 5 minute timer and it just, you know, if you were shaving your legs and you only got one shaved, well, hope you're...
You have one shaved leg?
Your bits got rinsed, so...
Yeah, you gotta really do a specific order of operations on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like 1, 2, 3, not just this one, but this one and this one.
Yeah.
Not like the Britney song. He also talks about... and this is, again, very triggering, I think, for a lot of people, hating the word gay, and specifically faggot, which I know you...
I hate that word.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, not... Yeah, it's bad.
I don't even like to say it.
I know, I had to
make myself
say it.
I had it thrown at me at work once, and it was unpleasant. So,
that is a good way of wording it. Certain words are thrown at you.
They really are. Because they're when words are used as weapons, I'm not shouting.
Okay, Ava Max.
I'm throwing it at you. Hey, that was a good concert.
Yeah, very queer.
Oh my goodness, her opener?
Yeah.
The Scarlet Opera.
So good.
Pro tip, if y'all have not listened to the Scarlet Opera, they're like our new favorite jam.
Yeah.
And it's like a contemporary American queen. Like, yeah. So good.
Like,
so queer.
We queue it up.
So amazing.
We queue it up right before the other one comes in the door.
Yeah.
Like, but to like at the, in the living room, so it's like pounding. You know?
It's the best. Our neighbors probably hate us.
Yeah.
Well, that's on them. They made their choices.
But I think, you know, I never really hated the word gay.
I always liked gay.
As a kid, I mean, you know, I was like, I wanted to stay away from it, obviously, for my own internalized homophobia. But I always felt that, like, lesbian sounded like an illness, so I stayed away from lesbian. I still kind of feel like that.
I see, and I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, lesbian, man, that's what's up.
Okay, watch the eyebrows. It's suggestive.
Oh, well, I mean, it's a podcast, so.
And then, well, he talks about... Dislike, I just hate saying it, so, but faggot. And he says it means a bundle of sticks since medieval times when gays were burned at the stake. That is a tidbit I do not remember learning.
About gay people being burnt at the stake?
Well, I knew that, but like that's why we call them the F word.
I didn't understand that connection.
It means a bundle of sticks. And so I think that, you know, if we point that out to people, of why we don't use the word anymore and like the history of it and like
etymology is important, mm-hmm. and like understanding the context of why certain words are hurtful is really
I think we've talked really about that before with using queer.
Yeah.
And how that's kind of come back in fashion and vogue.
Well, it's like we took the power back. And
but I don't think we'll ever take the power back from faggot.
Well, I think it's just...
I mean, it tastes like bitterness, almost like soap in my mouth.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a parent that put soap in your mouth and you swore like mine did?
I did it to myself once.
You were an odd kid. I mean, you're not human now, so I can't... I believe it.
I know certain, several gay men that will, like, candidly, like, throw it at each other.
No, not okay.
Well, I can't tell another human.
In mixed company, yes. Not okay.
Yeah. I definitely think that's one of those words, that straight people should not use. Like, you know, similar to, like, as white people, we never use the N-word. There's too much hate and pain and suffering tied up in that. But
and we explain that.
And we explain
why
that,
we don't say it.
Yeah. So, like, I know that that's been conversations that we've had with our son, when he asks about certain words, and we try to talk to him about how being an ally means speaking up. If you hear someone else use a word like that,
and not saying,
stand up for
hey,
somebody.
You shouldn't say it, but hey, bothers me when you say that because, like,
right,
it back
it's hurting this other person when you say that. So,
I thought it was sweet when Ted helps him out, mm-hmm. and he wants to be more like him, so he puts his hair in a ponytail, and one boy goes off on him and calls him a faggot, and Aiden calls him a streaming list of things back, and punches him, and he loses a tooth. I thought that was ridiculous.
I mean,
and then they all see a bear, and then it's not really forgotten, but it's kind of...
You kind of move on to the next thing.
Versus I lost a tooth. Like, I think, you know, this sense of, like, I say aggression, but, like, boys... When boys internalize things, it comes out as aggression, whether that's I'm angry at dinner, I don't want this food, when the food is pristine and amazing, because I cooked it, versus, like, I'm going to fight you. You know, I think whatever... However they're feeling, and, you know, because they can only be mad or happy. That's the two.
Well, but that's what's so messed up is every human has emotions. And the way toxic masculinity works, because of the patriarchy, you know, we condition boys or people that are, you know, socially conditioned as boys that you can't have emotions and you can't talk about them and... can't express feelings, but those feelings go somewhere. I mean, there's a strong correlation between men having a higher incidence of heart attacks, you know, as early as their 40s, and the fact that they don't talk about feelings. Like,
well, the fact that, like, anger has to be really one of the only acceptable emotions means that in any given situation, it comes out as aggression, like I said at the fabulous dinner table example. So he happens to be around them when he calls him that,
mm-hmm.
and he's already upset. So it naturally comes out as anger, but we forget that anger is a secondary emotion.
Yeah, you were telling me about this recently.
Yeah,
it's really fascinating.
Yeah, so it was another parenting book I was reading, you know, and I was like, what? I think I've heard that before, blah, blah, blah. But, like, underneath anger just masks the initial feeling that we're trying to hide or prevent from, again, hide or prevent from being discovered, to hide. So he's feeling insecure in that moment. He's
mm-hmm.
feeling frustrated with him using that word, thinking
mm-hmm.
it's okay to call him that. He's also
mm-hmm.
got racial slurs that have come at him for also
mm-hmm.
being half Filipino.
So maybe a little scared
as
well. Yeah,
so there's a bunch, I mean, pick one. I mean, there's a lot going on, but... He can't be those things. He can't run off and cry.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to be angry. And those are the actions that come out with him being angry. Whereas when boys actually sit and cry, there's so much released from your body when you cry. Mm-hmm. It's why we have the ability to cry.
It's a physical release.
It's a physical release. It's a non-violent physical release. I mean, unless you're throwing stuffed animals. But it's a non-violent...
I mean, who are you to judge?
What teddy bear doesn't deserve to be thrown across the room from time to time? They think they're the best. So, yeah, I just think that that's really impactful that it comes out as only anger because of those thoughts. And because of, well, not the thoughts, because of those words and his actions.
Yeah. Well, and I, like, throughout the book, there were several different instances where, because I know for you and me both, and I don't hear it as much anymore, thank goodness, but I still hear it every once in a while, but that, like, oh, that's gay. That was always
the early aughts, yeah, that was real popular.
Oh, I hate it. And I...
But now we have the no homo, when guys are bromancing, like, if you hug your teammate afterward, oh, but no homo, no homo. Why can't you just give your teammate a hug? You smack him on the butt.
Yeah.
I don't hear no homo after that.
Well, I don't have...
How butt smacking is acceptable, but hugging is not, I do not understand.
Well, again, it kind of goes all back to the patriarchy.
Well, they're
nonsense.
Sweaty during both of those activities, I would imagine.
Probably.
Okay.
I just think, like, it is such a specific time, like 1995. Like, it is a very specific time where, like, what little gay content was in the popular culture.
We had Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Was
still new at that
time.
Well,
no, but I'm talking about, like, in media. It was a joke. It was always played as a joke. So it's like, oh, wow, cool, that person's kind of like me, but why would I want to be that? Because they're just getting made fun of. And then that, like, kind of moves into the boy jokes that you see in this book here, right? And, I think it's important that we kind of have those time capsules of how it used to be and what people had to go through.
So they understand why I'm prided out, because...
No, I don't think this is tying into that.
It shows how proud we are now. Like, I always feel like we need to respect our ancestors, just because I'm not related to them. Mm-hmm. You know, the famous people, I'm blanking, Harvey Milk and Billie Jean King of our time, you know, like, I owe it to the work they did, the suffering they went through, to be a proud queer woman, to be married to a female partner, to have all the dogs I want. Oh, wait, that's not related. But you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
To go to the pride events, and even though I'm a little worried about security sometimes, let people be out and be seen, you know, and just enjoy a whole month of beer and consumer
you don't
goods.
Drink beer.
Let me
oh, you mean
beer
the...
and consumer goods stores getting slack.
Yeah.
For caring about people like me.
Yeah. Well, but I also think, yes, all of that is true. Like, absolutely, the people that came before us paved the way for us to have it as good as we have it. But that also means we're not done.
We have to keep paving the way.
We have to keep paving the way so that it's even easier. But I think what's really amazing about queer folks and kind of how we have these micro generations of, like, you know, somebody that came out 5 years before you did has a very different experience than you. And then
Depending on where they came out,
10 years? However much later than you did.
Significantly, 15.
Okay. I had a very different experience. But, like, part of us continuing to advance this for each other as a family is not only do we have to keep pushing the envelope and encouraging allies by having difficult conversations for our family members. I mean, queer family members, but also actual family, I suppose. But sometimes those difficult conversations are with our ancestors, like, as you put it. I had a really interesting conversation with someone the other day when he first came out, it was, like, right in the middle of the AIDS epidemic. And, like, he was part of ACT UP. And, like, he did so much and struggled through so much and lost so many people that, I mean, I have an immense amount of respect. But at the same time, as we're talking, and he mentions several things that maybe aren't as inclusive and doesn't blanket the rest of our queer family, like some of our trans folks. I owe it to our entire queer family to try to have a respectful conversation and push back on some of that and be like, well, why do you say that? Why do you
feel like that?
Why do you feel like that? Well, what would you do if you were in that situation? Like, having the whys and the actual curiosity, I think it's the only way I know how to actually change hearts and minds. And I think that's the only way we make it better.
I think that he's doing that with this book too. Like,
yeah.
Kids reading it now, that was 20 years ago. Why did they ban?
Ouch, that hurt, babe. No, that was longer. It's almost 30.
Oh.
Okay, so for one moment, we're going to allow Anna to have a crisis.
Shut
where
up.
She realizes just how old she has become.
I was thinking, no, because, no, it is 20 years, huh? Because I was looking at
you
the
said 95.
Right, but in 2015 is when they changed it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about now from when it was mm-hmm. written. Okay.
So, because Ted is fired, because okay. they're kind of poking at him being gay. The rumor is because they found out he's gay. And this happened up until 2015.
Yes,
when
okay.
gay scoutmasters were then allowed. You could be mm-hmm. open about it. So people loved scouting and wanted to be involved, or queer parents wanted to be involved in their kids' troops. And I think, you know, yeah, so it was 20 years, huh? But, I was like, I'm looking at the date in front of me on my notes. But, you know, them to say like, wow, it took 20 years from when this book happened to them. Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And then them now thinking, wow, that's almost 10 years ago from when they even let them in. And
mm-hmm.
it's, I don't know, I've always really felt weird about Boy Scouts of America because they're close, like they're in Irving, so you know, it's close or whatever. But I always, you know, didn't like, you know, how standoffish they were. And then I was an adult by the time, you know, they tried to fix things. So it's like, it's just so messy, you know?
Yeah. Well, I remember as a kid, I really wanted to be in Boy Scouts. My mom was like, well, you can't, but you can meet Girl Scouts. And I was like, I don't want that.
I don't camping.
I want to go camping and have a pocket knife and, like,
should you
cool
be allowed
stuff.
Around knives? I mean, this is your second knife story of the evening.
Oh, my. I'm getting real knifey.
Mm. Wifey with the knifey. Is that your next hat?
Wifey with the knifey.
Okay, let's talk about when he kisses Elias.
Oh my okay. goodness.
So I love that they have this little date together. They go canoeing at night under the stars, which they're not supposed to do. But again, rules are made to be broken, and this is kind of an easy rule to break. Like, they're safe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then after they listened to his mixtapes, also did that date
oh
you as well.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
I was like,
up and close, yeah. And then he kisses him on the cheek, you know, which is pretty safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the next day, Elias has moved out of their tent.
That was so devastating.
I just, heart was breaking.
Broken.
I mean,
broken heart. Broken. All the pain, like, little baby Miranda would have been a wreck. My heart went out. My heart absolutely went out.
Did you get vibes from Elias? I got vibes.
A little bit.
I
feel like, okay, so here's my own headcanon. Elias is one of those dudes that, like, that little innocuous moment that he couldn't accept, right, just smolders inside of him. And then in college, he realizes he's bisexual. And he was like, oh my gosh. And then he just, the sliding doors, ends up meeting back up with Aiden just randomly. Coffee shop. Record store.
Do they get together, or they just...
Yeah, they get together and they chat, and they...
No, do they get together?
Well, yeah, but you have to start somewhere.
Okay. Because I think, too, like, the kind of the misencounters or whatever with people of our youth, and then you find out later that they're also queer, like, I wouldn't go back in time and, like, make out with you,
mm-mm.
but it's also like, oh, we found each other, and then you just knew why you had part of that friendship was just because you just were there together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I definitely.
But they make up with each other at the end.
They do. And that.
Not as I would have hoped.
Yeah. Yeah, we wanted
But I think that's important that he gets turned down, because the story is not necessarily about you have to have somebody else accept you to accept yourself. I think his whole trajectory, his whole journey, because this is essentially like a hero's journey at Boy Scout camp. This is basically what this is.
Sure.
So, and it's got the one name, you know, the Odyssey, Flamer. Like, yeah. It's going on. So I really feel like this is, he needed to have that for him to realize I am enough as I am, who I am all the time.
Yeah.
That if I go out and find someone, they are then lucky to compliment me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think...
Well, but that's, like, we've had that conversation multiple times over the years, but, like, that to truly be your best self and to truly love yourself...
You need a lot of pugs. I agree.
It's not what I was going to say.
Wholeheartedly agree on that.
But no, just that if you can get to that point in your life, that puts you in such a beautiful place, period. And then if you happen to meet somebody that is just like your whole world and is the most amazing, if you're both in that place, like if you can love yourself, you have a much better relationship loving someone else.
They want to be the ketchup to your French fries.
I don't like ketchup.
Whose fault is that? Okay. That's another problem. Fine. But then the... what else do you dip? Do you just plain fry here?
Yeah.
I thought... No, I guess that's not. So then the next morning, he goes to the chapel with a Swiss Army knife to harm himself.
Mm.
And this was a really hard... And then you see the red coming in. So he kind of plays with color this whole time.
I absolutely loved the way that he played with color. Because, like, you saw it... That's a similar art style when his dad was so angry and you had like the red and black representing the anger and the abuse. And then you kind of have that through line where when he's trying to harm himself, which is basically abuse of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. It was really powerful. It's not something I just walk around telling everybody, but I know in my past I've had issues with self-harm, like especially before, in college, before I had my bipolar diagnosis, I was able to get on medication and everything, be stable and good. But I think it can be really impactful when adults talk about it with a lot of respect, because it is something kids face. And I mean, I would love to say if we never brought it up, it wouldn't happen, but that's not how that works. Like, kids are going to do that. Like, I never saw it modeled, but I did it.
Isn't that how we discussed teen pregnancy in Texas?
Oh, yeah. No, I forgot. No, yeah. Yeah. If you don't talk about it.
It doesn't happen.
It won't happen.
But I kind of got the sense that he was, I guess how I interpreted the kind of fire human, mm-hmm. was that it was a talk with his soul about his friends and being strong. I love the sense of strength in this conversation.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like when you're at that moment and you're able to kind of like look outside yourself. So he's not, you know, having a paranormal activity here, you know, or moment. You know what I mean? I just really think it's...
Although that just takes us on like this weird, like, supernatural...
Yeah, journey. But journey. I just really think it's him kind of in those moments reflecting on the friendships, and he has these, you know, he thinks mm-hmm. back to that. And
I almost feel like it was this weird conversation with, like, a future self.
Okay.
You know?
Because it's kind of the fire human.
Yeah.
It's kind of androgynous and because they're consumed in fire.
Yeah,
fair. So I wasn't sure if that was him or not. Like, I think it's meant to be that way. Like, it works either way.
You just kind of infer whatever feels right mm-hmm. for you.
But I love that he burned his goodbye letter at the end. So we come back around to the sense of fire and self-cleansing.
Well, yeah, because, like, you know, in nature, fire is cleansing. I mean, that a big burn in the forest paves the way for, like,
but not
new life. What?
Not book burning.
Not book burning. That's bad.
That's toxins.
Just pure... Well, yeah, it is.
It is, because...
Glue, ink, stuff. Hatred. There's a little bit of hatred released during the book burnings.
What was, I think, kind of more shocking to me, like, again, the story, like, I was just sobbing. I've read this book 4 or 5 times now. Mm-hmm. Every time I read it, I think, oh, is this the time I don't cry? And,
Answer's no.
It's just so visceral. Like, the writing is is just spot on.
The art style
is,
well, just, I love that it's very minimal. And that just...
Any splash of color, because it's minimal,
is impactful.
Yeah, it's very impactful, very purposeful.
I don't think it would be as good if it was, like, full color.
But I didn't talk about my personal connection to this book, so...
You were a Boy Scout.
No, I was not a Boy Scout. Was listening to a webinar about graphic novels right the summer before this came out, and it was on my list to read, and it was one of the rare ones where they talk about the books and then they have the authors on there to again talk about their books but answer questions and stuff, like, tell us about how your personal experience leads you to
informed blah blah blah,
leads you to develop your characters and that kind of thing. And I love that stuff.
Boy, they talk sexy.
Oh, you know what I mean? I was trying to sound serious.
Hey there. Tell us all about your book.
Anyway, and they were all, like, I think middle grade or YA books. And so, or ones that were kind of crossovers. Like, because this one, 12 and up, it could definitely be middle school. But, 12 years old, you know, not 12th grade, no. But, anyway, so I was like, wow, this book sounds amazing. And it's in the 90s. And, like, this is a book for me. And so, I read it, and then, I was so blown away, and then it's in our library, it's in our local library, and, I mean, it blew up, it got the award, and it's been banned, of course, because it's so amazing, but I just remember hearing him talk about his experience, and it's like, even if you hadn't enjoyed the book, which obviously I did very much, I still would have enjoyed the book from hearing about his experience, like, him just, like, talking about what guided him on this journey and then to write this book and how it had to be a graphic novel. And anyway, that goes to the afterword where he talks about he was in Scouts and the chapel scene is based on his experience.
Wow.
I think, because some people skip the afterword and it's okay, it's whatever. Do your thing. But if you didn't read it, take another look, because, like, wow, that's a big thing to think about, because it's really a pivotal.
It's a very vulnerable moment to... not just put, like, pen to paper as far as, like, writing, but, like, to encapsulate such a low moment in your life that...
At such a young age.
At such a young age that, it's... I mean, as open as I am, that's still hard. That's still hard to try to craft art around that pain.
I think that's why it works for so many age levels, because, I think about sometimes when I'm reading, most often, like, rom-com for younger, middle grade or YA, and I'm like, I don't get this. It's not, it could be queer too. It's not connecting to me. And I'm like, well, it wasn't written for you. You're not a 13-year-old right now, So I think about it from my
perspective. Thank goodness.
Right?
I'm deeply relieved.
Deeply relieved. Checker ID. But thinking about...
I mean, out of the interest of clarity, do you have your ID on you?
I do. It's on my phone.
Yeah, you want to show that
to
me?
No, hush.
Is it vertical or horizontal?
It's like this.
It's horizontal?
Horizontal, yeah.
So this is not a visual medium, babe.
Sorry. Anyway, thinking about how it wasn't written, I'm not the target audience. Mm-hmm. And I read a lot of middle grade and YA books because I like that feeling of being young and what it means to first fall in love and have that love and sometimes lose that love and find something else, self-discovery or self-worth along the way. But then I'm like, oh, well, this book appeals so much to me because it's in that time period. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was a journalist working for a queer publication when the boys in, it was 2013 when they allowed...
Gay Scouts.
So, and I covered that story. So that's another personal connection. So I just remember, like, reading about it and happening later when I was no longer a reporter, but in 2015 for the Scoutmasters, and then 2017 for the Trans Scouts, and just thinking, wow, are we... And I remember thinking, they don't already do that. They don't already set these people. What's going on? Like, but I think, that's just... This was such a good read because it appeals to people who remember that time.
Yeah.
Or who remember the times when they became accepting, to kids now who are like, wow, I wouldn't have so-and-so in my scout cub group, troop, thank you. Wouldn't have them in my troop if it wasn't for these people and these things and, you know, queer people who continued to be involved even though they had to be quiet about it.
Yeah.
Because they loved powerful. Camping so much.
It's powerful. All the camping.
So our rating, I didn't forget.
Okay.
What would you rate it?
This is how long the hiatus has been. Is our top score 4 or 5?
5.
Okay. 5 glittering rainbows.
Okay, I have a special rating for this book.
Uh-oh.
Which we all know does not happen often.
Let the record reflect.
Hush. Instead of 5 glittering rainbows.
Are they flaming rainbows?
I want to give it 5 fiery glittering rainbows.
It's a combo.
It's a combo.
Ooh, very special.
Yes, it's incredible.
Are they hot to the touch? Are they safe?
Like warm.
Warm.
You know, like right.
Smoldering.
Like right when you, not smoldering, easy girl. Like when you toast a marshmallow, it's just hot to the touch. It has to cool for a minute. It's the best. Right before you eat it, you're like, oh, it's warm. And then it starts to...
I've had some personal tragedy around flaming marshmallows.
Okay, it's a story for another time. All right, so our next read...
Wow, really leave them wanting. Make sure you keep listening for the one random time and it allows me to tell the story.
Okay. We are very aware that we owe you within the next week or so If I Was Your Girl by Meredith Russo.
We have already read it, and I'm now in the process of reading it again to refresh my memory.
Yes.
It's a really good book.
But our next read after that for July 2023 is Kings of Beemore by R. Eric Thomas. And our August read is a recent book that was published, so we want to make
that
sure...
That we're very excited about.
Yes, we're very excited about. And I want to, in the interest of giving y'all a heads up for library usage and requests, that August is going to be Page Boy by Elliot Page. And we
Woo-hoo.
Very much look forward to those discussions. And especially for Kings of Beemore and Page Boy, if there is anything you want us to discuss in particular, we can... we haven't started recording those yet.
So. Yeah, hit us up on our social media. As part of us kind of trying to revamp, that's better.
I like revamp because it sounds like tramp.
Ooh.
Scandalous.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah.
But to revamp in a way that makes us better capable to maintain this, because I feel like I bit off more than I could chew.
It's not just you. Life is hard.
Life
we
is
live
hard.
In Texas and it's 2023. That's all you need to say.
Like, yeah, okay.
And we're queer, so.
Yeah, so that.
But
end.
We have decided to only do
one book a month.
Mm-hmm. But we will be sharing more about other books we don't choose to discuss. I read a lot of queer literature, as does Miranda.
Yeah.
We don't always read the same book, so we can. Because
sometimes my book choices are
scary.
Too scary.
Ooh, post about that one. That was creepy.
Ooh, I gotta go on to tell y'all
about. So we're gonna start sharing more of what we have been reading, especially the last.
But may not be in an episode.
Exactly.
Because recording an episode, that's a lot of time. And we love having the opportunity to chat with each other. And we love that, you know, there are those of you out there that really enjoy hearing it. So we're definitely gonna continue to do that, but on a monthly basis.
Yes, something that we can keep timely and keep relevant with. But yeah, I wanted to hit that up for August because I know that might not be at your library. So request it. Something that is easy to an easy request depending on how your public library manages their digital library is basically when you check out a book for your digital library. They're just renting it for as long as people want to check it out. So, but if their next update is not till a month from now, then you can get on. The next time you update your digital, can you put this in?
Yeah.
So I've done that, and then I've waited, and you know I've got on the list, and I've seen it.
Yeah. So. Well, and another housekeeping thing as well is I made Well, we made the decision, but it was driven by me. So if anybody's upset, it's Miranda's fault, not Anna's. But we took down the website because it weren't seeing a lot of traffic. It has, you know, a price tag affiliated with it on an ongoing basis. And so I think, you know, moving forward, it'll mostly all just be done through our social media accounts, which, of course, are our Instagram, Facebook. Twitter is a hellscape, so I don't know that we're going to... I don't think we're going to tweet a lot. But we are excited to engage with y'all. And y'all means all.
Absolutely.
So...
to these Texans, at least.
Yeah, it's one of the few Texan things I do. I really appreciate each and every one of you, and we want to encourage you. Well, we appreciate each and every one of you, but we want to encourage you each to be safe, and to do whatever you need to do to fill your cup back up, because it seems like the fighting is gonna get worse before it gets better, but it does get better, and I think we are better together. So to all of our queer family out there, we love y'all so much, and until next time,
we're all queer here.